are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
So women in rural areas often encounter a range of obstacles, from limited access to healthcare and education to economic disparities and social isolation. Despite these challenges, rural women demonstrate remarkable resilience and strength, drawing upon their faith and community support to overcome adversity. So we are going to be looking at the specific challenges faced by women in rural areas, highlight their stories and perseverance, and discuss how we can come alongside them in solidarity as well as compassion. And we are joined once again by my shepherdess Namushi Mutoya, who's going to be helping us, deal with this topic. Mam Fundisi, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing well. It's just very cold today. Otherwise, I'm okay.
Where's the blanket?
I don't know how it is with you.
It's hot as well. Usually we have the studio door open, but today I closed it. I'm like, today I just want to be warm in here. It's okay.
Wow. Yeah. Wow, that's great.
Indeed. Well, so before we start, I'm going to ask that, can you please pray for us?
Heavenly Father, we call upon your name this morning. It's always better when you are with you, when you are with us. We want to pray that you take us through this presentation successfully. We pray even for our dear listeners around the world who are listening, that Lord, together we could be enlightened. Together we could reflect on the needs on that unique woman in the rural area, and maybe find wisdom on how we could be a blessing to them. Bless us, oh Father. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen and amen. As a girl who grew up in the rural, some of the things I think we're going to talk about, I understand, and have lived through them. But nonetheless, we still need to highlight them here on the show, Ma. So what are some unique challenges faced by women living in rural areas as compared to those that are living in the, in the suburbs, in upscale places?
The challenges are a lot. They face a lot of challenges. One of them is a limited access to education. You know, in the towns, you have schools almost every kilometer you move, every 2-10 kilometers, you have so many of them. But for them, you may find there's just one school in this particular area.
Yes.
So access is usually a challenge. They have to travel for so many hours. And then there are also issues of lack of information, which is twofold. Sometimes the connectivity is there, but maybe they don't have the gadgets. They don't have the phones. They don't have the televisions. They don't have, so they don't get to hear maybe what is happening. These are times where you find maybe when voting comes, people are still thinking it's the old president who was there. Things changed. And issues of health disparities, economic inequalities, lack of social support, certain things, they take it like they've gotten used to living with things that are not normal to an extent. If you want to talk about them, they'll think, oh, what is she bringing? So people lack social support, where to run to when they have issues, gender-based violence because of some traditions around there. Talk about early marriages. Workload. This one is very, very crucial, especially for our young girls. You find they wake up at 4. If they are going to the field, they walk so many hours. They work. Whether they go to school, they are working. So there's just too much. Limited job opportunities, infrastructure, entertainment. And in short, I can say they usually take long distances. Whether they go to school, it's long distance. I remember visiting a village where we had to take 1 hour, 30 minutes to go and fetch water. And going to church, you take another 2 hours. Going to the clinic, you take, so everything just takes a long distance. So these are some of the challenges that our women in the rural areas tend to experience.
So we do know that, for example, you highlighted the issues of schools now, that you find that, in the whole area, there's just one school. But what about healthcare, Ma? We do know that sometimes it's limited, and how does that, affect their well-being, these women that are staying there in the rural areas, because we do know that as women, we have issues that sometimes need medical care, but you find that you would have to walk like for 5 hours up until you reach that one clinic, you know, and you find that sometimes they don't even have the medication for you. So how does it affect them?
It affects them in a lot of ways. First of all, we start with our awareness, the knowledge that such services are available. And you find they fail to go to certain clinics because they don't even know that such a drug has come, such a service is there, the mosquito nets are now there. So they'll miss out because the place is far and they can't have the information that they need. And then most of the services that we find in towns are differentiated, meaning you can access them at your own time in a unique way. But that is not usually such a case. Let me talk about service by service, being a health worker. You know, issues of child health, the under five clinics, the immunization, that it also becomes a challenge. It's far, you have your small baby, you're still in pain. How do you walk? How do you go there? So sometimes they fail to come because your body just doesn't allow it and you can't come there. And these women sometimes have challenges where they're not even aware about issues of family planning. And you find I have five smaller ones following each other. If I have to go to the clinic, I have to carry all of them, and how do I go with them? So you find this quite a big challenge. Let's talk about the diagnostic services. You know, sometimes I'll go there and they tell me, oh, this challenge you have, it needs an x-ray. Maybe you need to do HIV testing. You know, so certain outcomes cannot really be fully established because of certain limitation. Just lack of an HIV test kit, lack of a certain lab result is going to influence how the outcome is going to be like. And then lack of specialized personnel. Maybe they say, here you need to see an ear, nose and throat doctor. You need to go to the theater. And this clinic maybe has one nurse, two nurses, one clinical officer. And as a result, this is really going to affect them. Talk about adolescent services. In most of the clinics that we have, we talk about youth-friendly corner services where they can go learn about different things, be empowered, learn about self-esteem. But who does that? Is this one nurse who has to be the doctor, who has to be the one who is delivering women? Who is going to do them? They can do it, but there's too much workload maybe on this healthcare. So you find the experts, specialized personnel are few. And talk about the maternity services, the maternal services, the antenatal, the postnatal, after delivery, before delivery. All those services may not be there. So you find all this amount to so much morbidity, so much illnesses can be advanced because they are not arrested at an early age, or mortality, a lot of death rates there may occur. So these are some of the impacts that we may see on these rural, in the rural communities among our women.
So, you know, earlier on when we were speaking, I was speaking to Derek that we're going to be discussing this. You know, I did share some of my own experiences there. Looking, for example, when now I moved away from home to go to university, that was the first time I learned what a mouse is, you know. Looking at a screen, a keyboard. That's when now they had to. I had to start learning typing on a keyboard, you know, and stuff like that. And I realized how underprivileged I was compared to my peers that I was with. Because when they were flying on the keyboard, that time you still need to figure out, oh, okay, this is what shift does. Oh, when I press this tab button, this is what it does, you know. So looking at such things that some of us have went through them, Mama, what does the issue of the issue of education, you know, and empowerment, you know, be it vocational training or formal education, how does it now affect these women when it comes to economic opportunities? Because I'm trusting to believe if we were to go and they say they are employing a typist now, most of them won't get that job because they've not been exposed, you know, to a computer. So how does it affect them?
It just like the health services, they are also affected in that area. The educational service also is affect them. You know, you find a family where there are few empowered people. And there are a lot of financial restraints. And most of the money that will come, they want to focus it to the basic needs. And the basic needs is not even maybe the house. It's just the food and that kind of that. So who will sponsor you to go and further your education? Much as they may see it like it's a need. So they get this family pressure. And sometimes it seems like it's not logical for you to be talking about the education when people are failing to find mealie for the home, are failing to find the food to put on the table. And there are also issues of lack of accessibility, transport, especially to tertiary schools. You may have the primary education there, but go to tertiary schools, it becomes a challenge. Maybe one has to go several hours. And like you were saying, you took the courage maybe to come into a town, but I've never been to a big town. I'm living in a small village, and when they tell you go to the university, all the fears come.
Yes.
Am I going to manage to cross all the roads? Hey. Am I going to manage to fight with those thieves that they are talking about? We hear about thieves, we hear about people dying. Am I also going to die? So it takes a lot of courage for you to progress. It's not like this child that has been seeing them day to day, for them to go to school, a taxi will come, a bus will come and pick them. But to just jump on a bus, it's a new story altogether. So we're talking about real matters. We're not talking about imagining one. Mm. So they lack role models. They are surrounded by drunkards, they're surrounded by peasant farmers. And our what we talk about, our environment shapes us. So you talk about, the maize growing, the sorghum, the what, and that tends to shape you. How do I become a doctor out of that? Out of that community. So they may lack role models. So it takes a lot to see a child coming from the village and you see them progressing. It's not like the child that has gone in the town. And your parents are also interested in the bride price. They are looking at this girl and they are seeing there are two cows. If we take her, there are 10 cows that are going to come and they're really gauging. Does she really go to further her education? Or let's just send her to that family. That family seems like they are comfortable and they have promised to give us 20 cows, if cattle or whatever, if we take the child. So you find these early marriages coming, the unintended pregnancies. Some of them, they even promise them, well, once you get married, he's taking you to school. But the pregnancies will come. And this becomes a challenge. Sometimes it's just simple things that may sound simple to that, but the monthly experiences, the menstrual issues, and these affects the school attendance. One really can't afford to find the napkins that will sustain this person to be in class the whole day.
Yes.
And you find every month you have 10 days, 5 days when you're not attending school because the situation is not okay with school. Let's talk about the quality of the education. Going to be 200 in your class, you have to squat on one bum and the other one for you. You're not writing properly. The pupil teacher ratio is something else. So does the teacher know you? Even if you haven't come, they won't even notice anyway because they will just sit properly on this particular chair. So the motivation to attending school may not be there because school just becomes like, it's just something we go for. It's just a routine. The very teachers may not really even be inspiring. Not that all teachers are not inspiring, but because you are in this rural area, you see your teacher comes to school maybe in tropicals. They're not as inspiring, and you're asking yourself, what am I really going for school for? So so the quality of education may not be the same.
Yeah.
So all these tend to be barriers that may affect affect the woman to continue and to further themselves.
Yes, you know. So, Mama, you know, I just want us to touch on this. I know that, you know, we've highlighted quite a number of barriers. I want us to quickly touch on the benefits, you know, of being a rural woman or staying in the rurals. Yes, I understand that as the church, you know, we do advocate for country living, etc. But besides the hardships that we face, there are some benefits. I was saying earlier on to Derek, and I was like, rural women, they're very strong, their physique. And he laughed at me. He's like, why can't, you know, urban women do that? I'm like, it's different. You'll understand, you know, another time. But are there benefits, though, to a woman staying in the rural areas?
There are a lot of benefits. quite a lot of benefits. Number one, I think these are communities that are happier. You know, most of the life, you don't live it in privacy. Of course, we've talked about so much negative things that it may sound like, is there really anything good to look at in the rural area? Apparently, they have so many positive things. They live as a community.
Yes.
They're a community that is sharing. They're a community that access to certain things may be a little bit cheaper, like they come at no cost. You don't really need to buy everything. And when a child is born, it is their child. It's a child of everyone. You know, when you don't have food, it has to be that all of you don't have food. But if there's somebody who has the food, so there's that spirit of sharing. There's that joy of just getting this support system of mothers and aunties, because then you may really be more like isolated on your own, like the same village, the same community. But what you find is usually there's a team of a bigger family living together. So we are saying there are a lot of benefits in being in the rural area. You get free counsels from the aunties, from the mothers, and so the village becomes a beautiful place, because the individualistic natures that we see in the urban settings may not be there, because in here people stay together, they do everything together. What may lack a little bit sometimes is privacy, but people are safe because you have so many grandmothers, aunties, and everyone just living around you. So people are happier, very, very genuinely happy in that rural setup.
Yes, I'm loving that, Ma, because indeed we are Hebrew. me, I'm happy. I think, you know, sometimes when I'm looking at it, I'm like, if I were to get internet, and I know that internet is stable, I wouldn't mind going back to the rurals. I wouldn't mind, you know, because you've got this vast land. You can just farm your vegetables. The air is even clean. You know, that's one thing that people don't understand. The air is cleaner.
You remind me of the man who took the boy to the village and says, "I want you to see how poor they are. You see, they have no, they were really poor." And they said, "What are you talking about? They are rich. As we have taps, them they have a river.
Yes.
As we have electricity, them they have the sun and they have the stars and they have everything. So there's some joy there to count."
Yeah, there are a lot there. So as we near the close, Ma, we've looked at, you know, the other barriers, but then this one, how does now the geographical isolation and limited infrastructure affect their social connection and support networks, you know, to these rural women, because they don't have the infrastructure, they don't have those networks that now we're speaking about, you know. So how does that affect them?
So how it affects them is... maybe the connectivity to services, the knowledge about the availability of a services, because we're talking about the geographical isolation. We are not really talking about maybe them being isolated within themselves, but it's only where you it takes you long to be aware of a certain services. So most of them, there'll be limitations in terms of services. So if I wake up, I have gender-based violence, I may not know that there's a GBV center, there's a one-stop center somewhere where I can run to. If, let me say, the government is promoting that, oh, there's financial literacy opportunities, there's no free education, it may take long for us to access this information. And it's what sometimes they call starvation in plenty. You have an opportunity, but sometimes you may not access them. So that knowledge and that the financial opportunities may be there, but you may not get them. So connection with the other communities that can help you to move at the level that they are moving may be a challenge. Some of these may be political, where a service is supposed to come to you, but somebody's sitting on it. You may find they may have a challenge. So this really tends to affect them. Mental health issues may come in. In short, maybe in case there's maybe this mental torture someone is going through and they can't run somewhere for support, it may be a challenge. There may be some form of social exclusion. There may be some limitation in certain areas because you can't access certain services to in this particular area. I think those are some of the challenges they may have because of the geographical isolation.
Yeah, yeah. Thank you, Ma, for that one. So as we wrap up, Ma, any closing words you want to say in regards to women staying in the rural areas? And then after that, please do offer a word of prayer for the women.
Okay. I want to say that being in the rural areas is not sometimes very, very easy. You know, our traditional roles usually dictate that men are the breadwinners, women are the caretakers. And issues of accessing job opportunities, men mostly taking the leadership positions, especially in these rural areas, can become a challenge. But we can make a difference. We can make a difference by continuing with the sensitization. The program like now is sensitizing, and it will not be the same. People will know that we can connect and the world can be a better place. So we can also change the way we view these rural areas, the rural women. Like each time we get there, let's find a way to empower the communities where we are coming from so that there's light there and we are moving. We may not really move at the same level, but at least they should be at a better place where they are supposed to be.
Yes.
Sure.
Ma, if you can please offer a word of prayer for the women.
Lord, thank you so much for this presentation. We pray for the different women, women that may not even hear of this message, but Lord, you can touch them. We pray that, Lord, you could open opportunities. We pray that they can access opportunities. We pray that you can bring them out of poverty. We pray that you could better their educational skills. We pray against any poor health. We pray that, Lord, you could send many programs that can reach out to these rural areas. Thank you, Father, for hearing our prayer. Bless us and the rest of the programs that will come. In Jesus' name we are praying. Amen.
Amen and amen. Ma, thank you so much for coming through and speaking to us. May you have yourself a blessed day.
Thank you so much.
Amen.
You are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.